Welcome. We trust you will be encouraged by this message from Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda by Chavda Ministries International. Real love, real people, real power.
And by the way, we have some people here, Joshua and Carrie Baker. Are you here?
Yes, there they are. Hi, guys.
Hi, guys. Stand just for a moment and wave.
You know we're going to do this to you. You're Aunt Ludy's family. You're our family. So welcome. Good to see you. Now, did you all have a child over in the children's church? Yeah. Good deal. Hi. So these are family members, nephew and wife of our Aunt Ludy, our children's Aunt Ludy and Uncle Gary. They're not blood relatives, but we have walked together in the spirit very, very closely for many, many years. And in fact, when Pastor Mahesh and I used to do a lot of joint missions in the third world, Aunt Ludy and Uncle Gary were in our will, should anything happen to us, they were going to become the adoptive parents of all of our kids. So you can be glad that we're still alive because you... But anyway, we welcome you guys. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah, we would go into some very, very dangerous places, way in the interior of the Congo. And in fact, that's where the Ebola, were somewhere way down there where the gorillas live, the pygmies, all that. We did crusades there. We would hire a single engine plan to go into the remote regions. And when the Ebola virus rose up, this was in the late 80s, when the news spread.
First spread.
They did. Yeah. NBC, CBS,
ABC.
And the AP all were looking for some kind of video or pictures of that region. And they searched all across the U.S.
At that time, Mobutu was in power.
He was a dictator.
He was a dictator, and he had the entire nation on lockdown in terms of foreign press because of the terrible conditions in country. And so the international news organizations, the only thing they could do with this story was show a map with a little red dot or square in this area where the Ebola had broken out. And so they contacted us because we had a lot of on-the-ground
footage. We were the only ones because the prime minister of that nation had come to Jesus through our ministry. Yeah. And his wife, after 14 years, got pregnant after I prayed for her because they couldn't have children. And so they were honored us and gave us an internal passport. So nobody could... So when the news media here wanted a video of it, we were the only people in the United States who had video of the Ebola area where Bonnie would go right there in the midst of the brackish water and all of that stuff of people
beautiful
in the
people.
Rivers, all of the beautiful giving people.
Yeah.
But it was seven days
to come to the meetings and really, really amazing.
It was a very risky place to go to because we could have crashed anytime. So anyway,
that was the first place that I had an opportunity to have makaku for lunch.
Yeah.
I declined.
That's monkey meat. So
I eat their version of popcorn, though, which were these big, huge, dried black and yellow caterpillars.
Yeah.
Crunchy.
But I ate the monkey meat. So for the next few years, I started jumping around for a while. But I got over it, got here.
I wondered why your arms had grown.
Yay.
We got some stories. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And some footage. One of the things about that region that was really fascinating is their mode of fishing. And they would build these bamboo bridges to span these rushing torrential rivers that were filled with these beautiful, huge fish. And they would build bridges of bamboo over these rivers. I don't know how they did it. If you looked at the things, you'd say, I would never go up on there. But and then they created these cones out of bamboo and twine. And the men would carry these big heavy cones, and they would go up on the bridge and drop these cones into the river, and the fish would start to fill up in there until the fish themselves became the net, and then they would lift those cones out. Just a lot of things like that. Really, really amazing.
Yeah, and they learned to survive.
We have all kinds of video of all that stuff.
And in those places, because of the government not interested in much official development, because it was a dictatorship, they didn't want people to look into that nation. There was almost no electricity.
None.
It was
the city ran on a generator. The people who had power in the city, it was generator power, and generally the individual homes didn't have that.
So when we would go
down for the first night, remember?
Breakfast, remember the big rats jumping on our legs?
Like the size of cats.
So
like,
it was
they
interesting.
They must have a cat in here. No, it was a big rat that, you know,
mission
went over.
Work. All right.
Okay.
I was ready?
Reel it in, yes. Me. Zip the lip. Okay.
Okay. There is a reason why I'm making you do this, because, but first we will do it. Why don't you stand up? And it was so much fun. We had a
it was beautiful.
Full
thank you, Lord.
Repast, as Derek would say, repast. That means lots of food, but repast. All right. You're gonna say the Apostles' Creed after me. All right? Raise your hand, declare. We're gonna declare. Say, I believe in God.
I believe in
God. The Father Almighty.
The Father Almighty.
Maker of heaven and earth.
Maker of heaven and earth.
And in Jesus Christ,
and in Jesus Christ,
His only Son,
our Lord,
who was conceived of the Holy Spirit,
born
of the Virgin Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate,
was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven. I want you to say that again. He ascended into heaven. And sit on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty.
From whence
he shall come. To judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
The Church Universal. The communion of saints.
The communion of saints.
The forgiveness of sins.
The forgiveness of sins.
The resurrection of the body.
The resurrection of the body.
And the life everlasting. I believe in Jesus.
I believe in Jesus.
I believe in his resurrection.
I believe in his resurrection.
Therefore,
I believe
in signs,
wonders,
miracles,
breakthroughs.
I believe for a miracle.
For me.
For my family.
Even this week.
I'm believing
for a breakthrough.
And I declare
breakthrough
for my neighbor. All right, point to your neighbor and say, breakthrough for you.
Breakthrough for you.
Glory to God. Amen. All right, praise God. Give God a big clap.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated. And that was, now we often do the Apostles' Creed, and it's important, and I wanted to specifically emphasize the Apostles' Creed, and especially the statement I had you repeat, because putting it in the context, on the church calendar everywhere, this coming week, this week, is Ascension Week. And then we're going to have our Pentecost healing service on Friday. But first, there has to be the recognition and the significance in our heart of ascension. Say ascension.
Ascension.
This is where Jesus, in the context of what we are talking about, Jesus is resurrected.
Yes.
And he spends 40 days then with his disciples. Just think.
Hallelujah.
I mean, there are so many times I wish, at different times, I wish I had been there. you know, just, it's so awesome. And so he is now in his glorified body.
God,
and Jesus is spends, I mean, fellowship time and talking to his disciples for 40 days.
Yeah.
And then he ascends on high. So we are, glory to God. There. Yes, Holy Spirit. So we are going to go to, after the 40 days, he says to his disciples, by the way, around that time. Then he said to them, verse 44, Luke 24, verse 44 onwards. Then Jesus said to them, these are the words which I have spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened the understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So we are coming now soon to this exciting event where we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the empowered, anointed church of Jesus Christ, on against whom the gates of hell could not stand against. So, as he declares then, it talks about the Holy Spirit, then it says after in verse 50, and Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them.
With a high priestly blessing.
The high priestly blessing. So he blessed them. He is now the eternal high priest.
Yeah.
It is glorified body. And he raises his hands. And remember, last year I talked a little bit about that blessing. And you think Mr. Spock gave you that blessed welcome, you know, live long and prosper. But that he got it from, as he was a kid in the Jewish Orthodox congregation, he remembered how his daddy would take him, and the rabbi would give them the blessing, and he would put his hands up. So when they were saying, okay, how would Vulcans greet you? They said, I'm going to preach the gospel to them, or at least tell them about the Jewish tradition, which was the letter, the first letter in the Hebrew name of God, and he would do like this and bless. So that's how Jesus, we conjecture, that's our idea that
becoming a high priest.
The high priest. He is the high priest, the ultimate high priest.
And the Aaronic blessing condensed is live long and prosper. That's what it is. The Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine upon you.
Yeah, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Hallelujah.
So, short form.
God is awesome.
Isn't that something?
God is awesome.
So, now it came to pass when he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. They worshiped him. Say worshiped him.
Worshiped him.
And returned to Jerusalem with what?
Great joy.
Great joy. Put your hand on your tummy. Say great joy.
Great joy.
This is, it's supernatural. And we're continually Hallelujah. In the temple praising and blessing God. Say praising.
Praising.
And blessing.
And blessing.
And then they gather together, and then 10 days they are together in one place, in one accord, and then the Holy Spirit is poured out upon them. But what I want you to take note is that there is the very one of the things I was looking at some things, I remember that rarely, and I would ask the same thing of, I have rarely heard teachings and sermons on the ascension of Jesus. We talk about the outpouring. We took, during Easter, about his death, his burial, his resurrection, the passion of the Christ. But very, very few people have the impact of the awesomeness of the ascension of Jesus. As he's resurrected from the dead, then after 40 days, he says, "All righty, boys, I got to now complete the mission." And I bless you, and then now, as right there in front of the eyes, this is the glorified Jesus. But they could touch him. He was not something smoky, kind of cloud. No. This was real Jesus. And he blessed, and suddenly he starts ascending. And from the temporal, he goes into infinity. He's still the same, but the glorified Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is his exaltation, his ascension, his exaltation, his ultimate glorification. And we want to comprehend it and get an idea of the full impact of this. You want to say, make a comment of this before I go on?
I don't think so.
I ought to give you room.
Thank you.
So you don't say I don't give you room. See, and then on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter, I want to find the exact scripture here, sorry. Here is some of the scriptures there. And there is a big noise and commotion in Jerusalem. The people are now being filled with the Holy Spirit. They are speaking in tongues and rejoice, praising God. And then thousands gather as they see the supernatural manifestation. And there is electricity throughout Jerusalem. There are thousands gathering together. And then in that context, Peter stands up and explains to them, this is what's happening. And he tells them,
you came for the pour out your spirit thing.
Yeah, here it is. But these are not drunken as you suppose. We have some of those drunks here too. For these are not drunken as you suppose. So there are times you'll see people get just zapped and drunk in the Holy Ghost. It's all right. As you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's about 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life.
Hallelujah.
Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof ye are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. So, in his ascension, you see the exaltation of God. And you see that as he's exalted, he's given the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee bows.
Hallelujah.
And every
Hallelujah.
Tongue confesses Jesus is Lord.
Mm.
So he is now, as he's fulfilling the complete awesome mission, Jesus is born. He has his ministry. He is crucified. And in that passion of the Christ, the Lord lays on his shoulders. God the Father puts together all the sins of mankind, all the curses and rolls that upon the shoulders of his Son. And his Son, in a supernatural way, takes your sins and mine, and all the sins of the world, the curses, the iniquities are laid on his shoulder, and then he dies there. He is crucified, he dies, and he's buried. And on the third day, he is raised from the dead. But as he is raised, he is exalted, and he is glorified, and he assumes this awesome, full, ultimate destiny of who he truly is.
Hallelujah.
And we'll give you a few more scriptures on that. And it's one of the most awesome things as you get it into your tummy. This as revelation that he is exalted. He has been glorified. And he has been given the name which is about every name. That he's sitting now within
Hallelujah.
The ancient days when a king wanted to specifically honor someone, he would bring them up and say, sit at my right hand. And God brings up Jesus and says, sit at my right hand until I put all your enemies under your feet, make them your footstool.
Hallelujah.
So this is what is happening in this context. Hallelujah. So, I'm jumping from place to place, sorry. In the book of Acts, then. We look at this again in Acts chapter 1. Jesus said, now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. It's like the shining bright. They were glory beings. They were angels. Who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you see him go into heaven. So now Jesus has finished his mission. He has been resurrected. He is now ascended. And he works. Now he is going to continue to work. And as he pours out his Spirit. See, there would be no pouring out of the Holy Spirit unless Jesus ascends and he goes to the heavenly glory, sits at the right hand of God the Father. Friend, from there, he pours out the Spirit of God. So there is an amazing, awesome God in three persons.
Yeah.
Blessed Trinity, we often say. So God the Father sent his Son Jesus. And he then ascends and says to the Father, mission accomplished, Dad. And he says, come, Son, sit at my right hand. And then God the Father and God the Son, in perfect harmony, they pour out the third person of the Godhead,
Hallelujah.
The Holy Spirit. And it's so awesome. See, all that happens. God is all sufficient. He doesn't need anything. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And perfectly, three in one. It's a mystery. But out of that awesomeness, then, the Holy Spirit is about to be poured out. And that's what, you know, on the calendar.
Mahesh, and it's stunning. You had mentioned that we don't often hear sermons specifically on the dynamics or the possible details around those few hours or those, you know, few days between his death and burial, his resurrection and ascension. And the Psalms are actually full of those events. One of the things that happens in Scripture, written by the Holy Spirit, is the Bible says that the Spirit of Christ would speak through, and you can find particularly speaking in through David in the Psalms. And in fact, I'll give you a little idea about a Bible study. If you begin to reread and re-meditate on the Psalms, in every place that David says I or me, if you consider and allow that to be Jesus, the eternal Son of God, speaking to you, you will discover a lot about the humanity that Jesus suffered. We said in the Apostles' Creed, he suffered under Pontius Pilate. And those two dynamics are emphasizing the incarnation of God into the earth in order to bring about the redemption of the human race forever, and also the reclamation, the reclaiming of the creation. Because if you remember, the first Adam was intended and created and designed to work with God, who was Trinity at that time. The Son is the eternal Son. The Father is the eternal Father. He didn't become Father to the Son, and Jesus didn't become Son to the Father when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. In a mystery, they were existentially always Father, Son, and Spirit together as one. So we see in the unfolding of the history in the incarnation of God, we see God entering back physically into his creation as man, as human, and also as the steward of all of creation. So that's why the New Testament says, for instance, that all creation, you think about that, you mean rocks and trees and rivers and birds and animals and all the, all creation, say all creation. It says all creation has been groaning in travail, waiting for the manifestation. And then you start to think of Jesus coming again. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that the whole of creation is now in this pregnant quivering, this waiting to see the sons of God. And what does Scripture say? As many as are led by who? The Holy Spirit are the sons, the heirs, the legitimate recipients, the stewards of this kingdom that we have received. So just imagine that when you go out of your house into your backyard or down the sidewalk into your car and drive through the city and pass some trees and whatever, all of those molecules know they're God. And they're waiting every day to see and hear from you. To see and hear from you and I, much less humanity, all creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And you know, you imagine that the pregnant blah, excitement that was there in Jerusalem and with the disciples, and over 500 people who had seen Jesus, saw him die, knew of all the miracles, heard, you know, all the stories, and saw the mercies and deliverances and the various things and the teaching, if you will, and his, you know, preaching in the synagogues. And they'd been there with him for those 3 years that he was in very public ministry in that whole region. And then they knew that he had been killed and buried, and a stone that took several Roman soldiers to move it had been rolled over that tomb. It was impossible unless God, but God. Remember, we like to say God has a big butt.
Oh, Lord.
Say, but God. Say, neighbor. You may be facing some
yes.
opposition.
Glory to God.
Two little words for you. But God.
But God.
But God.
But God.
But God. Our God has triumphed. So now what? The Son of Man, the Mashiach, the anointed one, the one on whom all hope rested for Israel and any possible light for the Gentiles. But that wasn't even in the picture yet. All hope. What? Gone? Again, in the Psalms, it's filled with the humanity of Jesus experiencing the suffering within humanity and then going into the grave. And it's filled with expression after expression of him being in the grave with the expectation of the Lord breaking those bonds, the Father, the Spirit breaking those bonds of death. And Psalm 24, which is the one immediately following, the Lord is my shepherd, and the whole thing about the valley of the shadow of death and so on and so forth, and then restore my soul. This is Jesus speaking in advance of the glories that will come and set up in a new administration, an eternal one, his kingdom. The one that Daniel saw as a stone flung out of heaven that crushed the kingdoms of the world, and this mountain grew up in earth till it filled the whole earth. But it says, we've quoted a lot, the earth is the Lord, Psalm 24, and it's and the fullness thereof. Then it speaks of who is going to ascend into God's mountain. Someone was coming to ascend. Someone who had clean hands, completely innocent in the face of all the charges and condemnation laid on him. A pure heart that had not lifted up his soul to falsehood or sworn by idols. This was Jesus was coming to ascend to the mountain of the Lord and sit at the right hand till all the enemies were put under his feet. And then, of course, it says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Speaking to the cosmos, he spoiled principalities and powers. Lift up your heads, you everlasting doors. Those foundations of the earth, everything changed because it witnessed what happened in Jesus Christ. And
so this is where, when you see, as the disciples are watching and they're seeing Jesus being lifted up and they're in the clouds. He's up there and then the clouds surround him and he's going up into heaven. This then, the hidden camera, let's say, tells you now what is happening. This is what is happening. This is he ascended and he's being exalted. That's where. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and the heavenly gates. And be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. And then the guardians of the heavenly gates ask the cherubims and all the heavenly creatures, say, who is this King of glory? And the reply is the Lord strong
and mighty.
The Lord
mighty in battle.
He has overcome the devil. In fact, there is a peculiar verse in the Apostles' Creed that we said, where it says he descends into hell. We don't talk even that. We don't know much about it. But there, as the Lord, he is resurrected. He is now the awesome King of glory. And he descends into hell. And it was at that time the Old Testament saints are still waiting
right.
for the Mashiach. And so he goes, and there he confronts what theologians would say, he confronts the devil and who had stolen the keys and says, you give me those keys.
He's dead
no longer. You have no authority.
Hallelujah.
And he unlocks the doors, and there comes out Isaac and Abraham
yes,
and David
on.
And Elijah.
Death,
and Elijah.
Where is your victory?
Not Eli- but yeah, all of them are coming out. They march out. Some of them say, Lord, can we stick around just for a few hours and look at our old
yeah.
haunts here in Jerusalem? So that's why there is this little scripture that says uh-huh. they saw some of the old saints that were around in Jerusalem for a little while, and then they go with the Lord. Who is this King
Hallelujah.
Of glory? And all of these saints that are now being unlocked, that come from paradise unto the heavenly realm, and they shout out, the Lord, the strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift up your everlasting Lord, and let the King of glory, Jesus, come in. The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory.
Oh, hallelujah.
Wow.
You know, Mahesh, in my mind, I see him there with the battle scars of the cross, you know,
yeah.
still there in his hands, because he had them. He still had the scars, the battle scars, bringing the offering of his finished work, bringing the offering of his blood, just like the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, once a year. But now Jesus is entering into the mountain of God before the face of the Father with the battle scars and the offering to offer it to the Father and bring justification, vindication, cleanse, open the gates for the entirety of humanity and creation and history to be reconciled to their heavenly Father.
Amen.
And then it says he poured out his spirit and gave gifts to men. I'm thinking of when Jesus said, I'll give you to the church. I'll give you the keys. He took those keys and I'll give you the keys to the kingdom and the gates of hell won't, you know, prevail against it.
Yes.
But it says he poured out his spirit and gave gifts to men. And we know from scripture in Ephesians 4, I know that's actually where, you know, one of the things that you were thinking about is where it describes God's headquarters on earth until Jesus comes. And it talks there about the gifts given to every person and every person contributing their gifts so that the whole body is being built up into Jesus Christ. It talks about people, the fivefold ministry who are gifts. So, I mean, this moment of what occurred between the grave and the sitting on the throne is absolutely a real stunning victory that speaks so much to us in the temporal about the eternal.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yesterday, talk about temporal. Yesterday, you saw some scenario. Now, I wasn't so busy with other things. I didn't get a chance to see TV, but I saw a couple of pictures from the newspaper. But as the president of the United States flew into Saudi Arabia, and he and First Lady Melania came, and she looked stunning. I mean, well, she's amazing. I say, wow. Anyway.
That's awesome.
See, the king of Saudi Arabia, they believe in royalty and all of that. And it's interesting in the context of this message that previously, I think President Obama had visited, and I don't know whether how there was some kind of his misapprehension or misunderstanding of protocol or however they do, he kind of bowed low to the king of Saudi Arabia and all that. There were pictures compared, whereas in this yesterday scenario, they saw the pictures and President Trump was just standing tall and it was the king of Saudi Arabia kind of bowed a little. And
Katie's tickled.
And they were putting these two pictures side, and I said, it doesn't matter who bows to here, to who, ultimately,
God,
every knee bows and every tongue confesses Jesus
yes.
is Lord.
Yes.
Let the King of Glory God come in. I'll give you one more scripture and then we'll sing a song. But I wanted to get this. As you will,
that's good.
After this is then yeah. the exalted King of Glory pours yeah. out His Spirit. And as Bonnie says, He gave gifts unto men. That you get that as a revelation inside you. Jesus is the King of Glory. And you are commissioned by the highest authority in the universe, the King of Glory Himself, saying, go make disciples. And you don't have to bow to any other ism
Hallelujah.
In the world. You don't have to bow to humanism, materialism, any communism, anything. It is, we are kings and priests.
Hallelujah.
Cut bowing off. To the name of Jesus Amen. Christ. You are different because you have Jesus in your heart, and you have the Holy Spirit. This other scripture, this it's beautiful. It goes back hundreds of years. Daniel chapter 7, he says, and he's seeing now as a prophet something in the future. And he says, I saw in the night visions, Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. This is the ascension. He was seeing some of the ascension. And came to the Ancient of Days, the Heavenly Father. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him, Jesus, dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away.
Glory.
And His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Amen. Hallelujah. Give it to the Lord.
Wow.
That's
wow.
the King of Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So Jesus continues His work after the ascension, pouring out His Holy Spirit. Let the King of Glory, I love therefore, in the context, Psalm 24,
yeah.
lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Let the King of Glory and the King of Glory shall come in. I want you to stand up. And we're going to say, you can say these words after me, if it's okay. And then I want us today to receive a commissioning.
Amen.
That the King of
Amen.
Glory.
God, Abbas. Yes, Lord.
His blessings are over you.
Yes.
Over your family.
Thank you, Lord.
May His blessings from the King of Glory.
Yes, thank you,
go
Lord.
Go to most distant places. Mm-hmm. Wherever. We want to send blessings today to your children, to your sons and daughters, to your business. Some of you starting business, some of you are in jobs and you need a breakthrough.
God,
and I believe the King of Glory is today giving us breakthrough. He is commissioning us for signs and wonders and miracles. I want to tell you, I was getting prophetic signals from the Lord. Bonnie and I both got this text this morning that from our precious sister, Nancy Majira, who is one of the great, I would say, one of the greatest servants of God in this nation right now. And she has headed up the move of God in the Chicago area in a mighty way. But she said, last night, we went to a ball game, she and her husband, part of some of her family. And a woman came running up to me, I guess at Wrigley Field, where is it? Wrigley Field, right? That's baseball. A woman came up to me, hugging me, and said, my twin boys, is it up there?
Yeah.
My twin boys were healed at Hub years ago. They were nonverbal, still at 4 years old. Mahesh Chavda prayed for them, and they were healed of so many things that day. Thank you.
Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Wow.
Two of them, they were nonverbal. They got miracle breakthrough, started talking. That's great. So this is the King of Glory commissioning you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Say after me, lift up your heads, all you gates.
All you gates.
Be lifted up.
You everlasting doors.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
And the King of Glory shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
Who is this King of Glory?
The Lord.
The Lord.
Strong and mighty.
Strong and mighty.
The Lord.
The Lord.
Mighty in battle.
Mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads.
Lift up your heads.
All you gates.
All you gates.
Lift up.
Lift up.
You everlasting doors.
You everlasting doors.
And the King of Glory.
Shall come in.
Who is this King of Glory?
Who is this King of Glory?
The Lord of Hosts.
The Lord of Hosts.
He is the King of Glory.
He is the King of Glory.
Amen. Give him a big clap offering. Glory to God. Yay. Hallelujah. I felt like, can we sing Onward, Christian Soldiers? I felt like that was a, kind of like a martial commissioning from the King of Glory to his army, and calling us into battle formation to do mighty signs and wonders, that you carry a whole different package of anointing, that you carry anointing that where you are, miracles happen. Where you are, breakthrough happens. Where you are, angels of God are there with you to give you success and prosper your ways. Hallelujah. All right.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master against the foe, and forward into battle, see his banners go. And onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, and with the cross of Jesus going. Soldiers on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise, and brothers lift your voices loud, your anthem raise. And onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Like a mighty army, moves
Let the King of Glory come in. Glory to God. I would like the healing team to come up, please. And it says, and join our happy throng. And we want people, first, if you need a touch, you want breakthrough, we want us to agree with you in prayer. Come up, get prayer. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, there are people who need to come, join the Church of Jesus Christ. And if God is speaking to you today to join this happy throng and become a member of this community. If you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit, please come up. Our wonderful team is here to lay hands on you. And I want to remind you also to tell many, many friends, Friday we are having a very special Pentecost healing service. And there are people flying in from all across the nation. So you be part of that happy throng and invite others, please. Amen? All righty. Come on up. And you have something, Katie? Do you want to say? All righty. You have something? Let's do it again. And then we can sing verse one, at least.
We hope you enjoyed this message. To order more great resources by Mahesh and Bonnie Chavda, visit us at chavdaministries.org. For a full catalog of our products, you can call us at 1-800-730-6264. God bless you.